Well, welcome back to First Baptist Church of Livingston tonight. Great to see everyone here. I have worship and music on my mind. I just met with a lot of our music people who were up here just a moment ago, and all of our singers. We've got a lot of great talent in this church, so we just had a great conversation about moving forward with music and everything. So thank you all who was able to come out. Want to let everyone know as well that if you... we talked about this in the meeting. If you play an instrument or if you love to sing, please know that we want you to be a part. We want to utilize all the talent in our church for God's glory and with music, along with every other ministry. And so please talk to us. And if we know you're musical, we'll come to you. But if you've been hiding that away... And maybe you just pull that instrument out of the house, and but you haven't let anyone else know. I understand. Once you let us know, we're going to be on you to do it. But if the Lord leads you in that direction, please know we would love to have you serve with us. And thank you all for the music today, and just love what the church does with music in general, with everyone who helps lead. So thank you for that. Looking forward to... next Sunday, with having the Southern Gospel group with us, Masters 4. I'll tell you, that came about because I was reading the Baptist message. I get what's called the Baptist message every week, and I was praying about Memorial Day weekend, and then I saw that, and I said, well, I know that Southern Gospel music rings true in this area, and so I think people would love that, and it would be a great, it would just be something that would be a good change of pace for Memorial Day weekend. And these are neat guys, as I've gotten to know them a little bit, and plan their coming, so just excited to have them with us. Wanted to read you a letter that was written to our church family from Miss Dolly Hughes. She said, "Dear church family, thank you for your prayers and many wonderful heartfelt visits during Steve's illness. Those visits were very special to Steve and gave him much comfort. I also thank you for the continued prayers, love, and support after his passing. The food you provided was wonderful, and I truly appreciate that you served it at our home. My church family has always been a blessing to me. Love and thanks, Dolly Hughes." So I wanted to, thank you all so much for the way you reach out in times such as those. Well, tonight in our time together, I wanted to do something a little bit different. I've been talking about, you heard me say this morning, and I've talked about with the pastor support team and with the deacons and some people that I'd like to, Robin and I together, she's not going to join me tonight, but together would like to start offering a meeting to anyone who would like to come. We're thinking quarterly right now, and we'll see where that leads, but we'd just offer it before the evening service to just answer basic questions about church. You know, one thing I think about all the time and try to have an eye for is for those who are not used to walking in the church building and don't know what to expect and don't know what it means to get involved in a church past Sunday morning. You know, it's so easy for some of us to start to assume those kinds of things. But for someone new, for visitors, or even for someone who's been coming to a Sunday morning service for the last 10 years, may not know what that next step is. And so I'd like us to, Robin and I are going to start having a meeting to kind of help answer those kind of questions. So I kind of wanted to walk the church through it tonight so you all knew kind of what the thoughts were. And a lot of this information you'll be familiar with, but I want you to kind of think with me tonight about a visitor, and this is also a great opportunity for me to hear from you all as well. So if you think about a visitor walking in the doors, what would be helpful for them to know about our church and about how to get involved and plugged in here? And so I'd like to share that with you tonight. So like I say, it'll be a little bit different than the usual message, but this is where I would always like to start with any of our visitors or anyone at all, is starting at the gospel. We've talked about this so many times, but I pray that the old story never gets old to our minds and hearts, that we are a church for one reason and one reason only, and it's because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. because God loves us and sent his son is the only reason we are a body together. And so one way you can share the gospel is starting with God, that God created everything we know and everything we see. And we see that in the first two chapters of Genesis, that God created all things for his purposes and for his glory. And we were created to be image bearers of God, reflecting God's glory back to him. That's God. Like we heard this morning, the ultimate authority and judge over the entire universe, because when you create a universe, you get to choose how it runs and how it works best. Yet man, we all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. The gospel is that though we were created in God's image, Adam and Eve chose to sin. Instead of submitting themselves to God, they desired to be like their own God, knowing right and wrong for themselves and being the judge of right and wrong for themselves. And when they did that, that separated them from a perfect, holy God. And since then, every man and woman who has been born are sinners, both by nature of coming from the line of Adam and Eve and by choice, because we have all chosen sin in our own lives. And that separates us, desperately separates us from God, the very source of our lives. Yet Jesus Christ, the whole message of the gospel, that God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to pay the debt that we all owed but none of us could pay, to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, to walk completely humbly and at peace with both God and man throughout his life, and then end up on a Roman cross, die for our sin, take our place and our punishment, so that we might have life and peace and forgiveness of sin and be adopted into God's family. And there's only one true response, like we talked about this morning: humble faith. Repentance and faith, believing that Jesus, when Jesus died on that Christ, he died for you, he died for me. It's a personal decision. It's a personal decision that we all have to make for ourselves. When we hear the gospel preached, by hearing, faith comes as we respond in repentance and faith. Repentance, turning away from our sin and the life that we were living as our own God, or worshiping other gods of our culture or whatever it is, to say, God, Jesus, you are Lord and you are God, and believing that when you died on that cross and rose again, you did it for me. That's the gospel. And the gospel makes us a church body together. It's why we gather. It's why we serve. It's why we sing. It is why we are a church, is the gospel. Now, every church has a mission and a vision for where they want to go. This is a mission that the Lord's been putting on my heart, and I've been sharing over and over again with the church, that FBC Livingston exists to glorify God by following Jesus and leading others to follow Jesus. Sure, there's other ways to phrase it. I love what's on our sign out there, that we're here to love all those, where a place where everyone is loved and Christ is Lord. Yet here we see that we exist to glorify God. That is our main motivation. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. If we were created as image bearers of God and we lost that in the fall, then us together, our discipleship, our growth, the reason we're a church to grow is to gain that back and to be conformed to the image of Christ. And as we do that, we worship and glorify him. We show off just how great he is. So we exist to glorify God by following Jesus and leading others to follow Jesus. That comes right out of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is in Matthew chapter 28, where it says, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The main command in that whole passage is to go and make disciples with two promises. Jesus is on his throne and he's the authority on heaven and earth. And as you go and make disciples, as you follow Jesus and lead others to follow Jesus, that's what making disciples is, then God will be with you always. And I desire to be with God in his presence always. And so that's why we're about following Jesus and leading others to follow Jesus. And so that's just who we are as a church. A little bit of a understanding of the gospel makes us a church family, that God has given us the church in order to glorify him, to follow Jesus, and to lead others to follow Jesus. I want to talk about membership for a few moments. You know, a lot of people come from different backgrounds, have different understandings of membership. Is membership biblical? Why do we do membership? And so our church does practice church membership here at the church. And there's many good and biblical reasons for that. One is just the very aspect that when you read about the church in the New Testament, that the church is like a family. Church as family would be the first thought that I would go to. 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2. I appreciate you having these on the screen. It would take me a lot longer if I was flipping all over the place tonight. But 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2, listen to how Paul talks about the church and what the church should be doing. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. And so we see here when Paul's talking to the church and giving them instructions, he talks about them like a family, and it's like he's talking about different members of a family. And you know, when you're in a family, you share the same last name. You share something together to say, yeah, we are a family. We are doing this thing together. And that's what membership says. Is that a member of a church says, I'm a part of this family. And so we are doing this thing. We are on this mission together. Church is not just an event to attend, but it's a people to be a part of. And it's a people that we're brought into by the gospel, the universal church. But then there's a local church to be a family together. And so why membership? Because church is a family. Also because church is a body. Church is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:18, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. I love that. That tells me that you, each and every one of you, and me included, we are all here for a particular purpose from God. And that's true of each local church, that God puts exactly who he wants in each body for exactly the time he wants. And each one of us is part of the body of Christ together. As a family of God, God has arranged us together. His design, his choice. It's God who's led you here. And the New Testament envisions a church as like each individual member under the headship, the head of Christ, fulfilling their role within the body. And so if you are a member of a church, if you are a follower of Christ, you should be a member of a church. And if you are a member of a church, you have a part to play. You're part of the body. And so your job and part of membership is to learn, what do you love? What are you good at? What are you capable at? What are your spiritual gifts? And how can you use that to both serve the body of Christ and to be about the mission of Christ in the community? So church is the body of Christ. Another great reason for membership is for accountability. Accountability. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 tells us to consider how to stir one another up in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, following Jesus is a community project. And we encourage one another and we spur one another on. And so when you become a member, you say, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be a part of the church so that I can be accountable and so that I can help hold others accountable as well. We need the commitment and accountability towards others as we try to follow, seeking to follow Jesus together. So if a church member or if a leader sees something in someone's life that seems off or seems wrong, we should lovingly pursue that person. If we haven't seen you in a while, we'd like to just lovingly reach out. You know, if you've committed to be a member and you say, I'm going to be here, we're not here for perfect attendance awards or anything like that, but if I haven't seen you in 2 months, you know, we should reach out as brothers and sisters in Christ and see what's going on and how are you doing. And so that's part of being a member, is being accountable to love and pursue one another. And then finally, and this isn't the only reasons, there's so many more, but these are the ones I want to share with you tonight. Being a member is really helpful to church leadership. Hebrews 13:7 tells us this: obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. You know, someone that's a pastor like me takes a verse like that extremely seriously. That I will stand before God one day and give an account to those who God called me to lead and to shepherd. And so if the people who are submitting to Christ and following in my ministry, if they would do me the pleasure of becoming a member, that's them telling me and telling other leadership in this church or in any church, I'm with you. I want you to hold me accountable. I want you to spur me on in my spiritual growth. I want to be here and I want to be a part of this body. It's a real help to leaders when the church body, when the church people come and they become members and say, I want to be a part. And I understand that you're held accountable to God. So I want you to hear that I want you to be held accountable for me too. And that's a lofty and high task, but it's the task that God's called us to as church leaders and church and as church members. And so those are just, there's, like I say, a lot more reasons, but I believe some of the primary ones in regards to church membership. Here at our church, our requirements for membership are first, that we have a believer's membership, repentance and faith, a response to the gospel message. That being a member of the church means that you are a member of Christ, that you have come to know him as Savior and Lord. Listen, becoming a member of a church is not like becoming a member of any other kind of club. When you become a member of a church, you're saying, I'm here to serve, I'm here to give. You're not really going to get a lot of, you know, it's not like you get a special bag at the door or get to your special seat and we promise no one will ever take it. It's nothing like that. It's not like membership at a club. The only reason to be a church member is if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And so that's a requirement for membership, is that you know him and that you are following him. The next is the step of baptism. The Lord told us to repent and to be baptized, that first step of obedience. When I say first step of obedience, what I mean is that primary step. In the book of Acts, when we see the church growing, people would come to Christ and then they would show that by being baptized. And so baptism is that first step of obedience. And baptism is coming forward and telling the whole church body, this is who I am, that I am a new creation in Christ, and I want to let everyone know about it. So membership, since membership is a public thing, putting your name on a roll and saying, yes, I want to be a member here, obviously your first step to make your faith public, being baptism, that's why it's a requirement for membership, is because it's you coming and saying, I have personal faith in Jesus Christ. And then as a church, we receive you. As our church polity is congregational, what that means is everything that we do here is approved by our church. And so don't worry, that there's no reason. If you have a statement of faith and you are following the Lord in baptism, there is absolutely no reason that the church would not receive you if you have those two things. But that is just an affirmation from the church body to say, say, we receive you. We're glad you're here, and we're glad you're a part of our body. And so that's how, those are the only requirements for membership. But then I just want to talk for a few moments about membership expectations. Okay, so if I become a member, you've told me why I should be a member, but if I become a member, what would the expectations be? Well, first, like I said before, is regular attendance. Don't quit meeting together. Continue to be a part of the body. Like I said, we're not keeping roll or keeping perfect attendance awards or anything like that. But regular attendance with the body is just one aspect of membership expectation. Another expectation that we expect of our membership is financial giving. Giving is a good work God calls us to as we pursue the mission of Jesus together. And any mission of Jesus in the church requires finances. And so we see in the Old Testament, teaches this idea of the tithe, the 10%. Really, in the Old Testament, it went up to about 12.5% that they would give to the temple. Yet as we move to the New Testament, we read about having a free and cheerful giver. And so the idea of being a free and cheerful giver, being a part of this body, saying, I'm going to take some sort of responsibility for the finances to move this work forward, whatever that may be. And for many, for some of us, it'll be very different than others. So they're not an expectation of a number, but an expectation that we would all be financially giving to our church and to the mission here through the tithes and offerings. Also, another expectation, the last expectation, is protecting church unity. Protecting church unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and same judgment. Thank you. So that's for all of us, right? And it takes all of us to pursue church unity together. Like my pastor charged me a few weeks ago to keep the main thing, that the gospel and the mission of Christ is what we are all centered around and unified around, and it is the expectation of every church member to help protect our church unity. And then also, I just want to tell you about service opportunities. As you come into the church and you become a member, our desire is for everyone to find a place to serve. Everyone's been given a gift by the Holy Spirit, and we want you to utilize it to the fullest, whether it be the greeting team or whether you're a teacher. We have adult classes and kids classes and always are in need of teachers. Our youth group, John Wiley does a great job with the youth group. I know he would love to have adult leaders who have a heart for youth and youth ministry to be a part and come alongside the youth ministry. Our nursery ministry, man, that is a great ministry to our nursery. Allows us to be able to hear better in here, as our people who serve in the nursery love on those children. There will be things come up, matters of business and things like that, that we need to address as a church, and we need people to step up and be committees and be willing to be in the meetings and give input and things like that. So there are service opportunities here. And so I, as the pastor, I want to invite people to serve. I want them to see what their gifts are, but I also invite you to come to me if you're interested in the greeting team, or if you're interested in music, or if you're good with sound and all that sort of thing, or if you're passionate about outreach, whatever it is, let's have a conversation, let's talk, and I'll get you to the right people to plug you in serving here with our church. And then also another question that a lot of people ask in regards to visiting or understanding a church is leadership. How does leadership work at our church? Well, as a Baptist church, we have a distinct way that we look at church leadership. And it starts at the very top with God himself. And God word, because God's word is his authority. It is how he has spoken to us. And so if you were to say who is the ultimate leader of our church, I hope that we would all answer that it's God himself and Jesus Christ and God's word, all those things going together. God is our chief shepherd, as Peter tells us. And so our first goal as a church is to follow his leadership. No matter what other kind of role you have, or any other kind of part you play, our goal as a church is to submit to the leadership of Jesus Christ through his word. And then after that, we see in the scriptures that the Lord gives under-shepherds, who we call pastors. Pastors are biblically qualified under-shepherds and have the authority to lead and guard the teaching and cast vision for the church. And so the pastor is given a level of authority in the church and is called to that by being its teacher, the one who guards the testimony of the gospel and the teaching within the church, and also casts vision for the church body. And then after that, there's the congregation. You, the congregation, are part of the leadership of this church, because the congregation is the final say in regards to approving what's done here at the church. So being a member comes with a responsibility as a family to be a part of helping shape the direction of our church in regards to business and in regards to church procedure. And so you, as the congregation, are part of the leadership of the church under the leadership and authority of the Holy Spirit through God and his word. And then your pastor, you, the congregation, are part of that leadership as well. And then I just want to share with you about the ministries of our church so that everyone understands what's going on here. On Sunday morning, we consider our Sunday a.m. time our main gathering time for worship, corporate worship, as we gather around singing and around prayer and around God's word. We do that every Sunday morning. It is foundational to who we are, is gathering as a people to worship God through the word and through singing and through prayer. And so that is our main worship time. Then we meet again on Sunday evenings. For Sunday evenings, I've been focusing on topics for discipleship. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to pursue peace with one another? I'm really looking forward to a plan to, after we finish our conflict and peacemaking series, to walk through the Baptist Faith and Message, so that we understand more our doctrine and our doctrinal heritage and foundation as Southern Baptists. And so that's kind of how I've been focusing our Sunday evenings as a topical and training kind of time as disciples of Jesus in the messages on Sunday evening. So that's a great resource. I want to remind everybody that we have a new website and all these things are online. And so if that's ever a help to you, or if you're not able to be here and you want to hear the message or the teaching from that week, those are there. So I invite you to look there. And then apart from our Sunday morning and Sunday evening, we gather on Wednesday nights. The Agape Cafe is one of our ministries here, and they offer dinner. This is a great time of fellowship for our church. Wednesday night is a much more laid-back environment where we talk with one another, share with one another, see how our weeks have been, and then we come in here after the meal and we have a short Bible study, and we share prayer requests and pray together. And so just having that prayer meeting on Wednesday night, I see as really a foundational part of all that we do here as a church. So that's what we do on Wednesday nights. And then apart from those three main gatherings, we also have our Sunday school classes. I'm super excited about our Sunday school classes and what they do for us in regards to providing fellowship If you feel like, well, I'm not really connected or I haven't really made relationships yet, my first question to you would be, have you come to a Sunday school class? Because in a Sunday school class is where you're in a smaller group. It's hard to get to know people in a group this size on a Sunday morning or things like that. But in a Sunday school class, it's where we're sitting across the table from one another and getting to know one another and building Christian relationship. And so I hope our Sunday school classes are a great place for fellowship that go beyond just the Sunday morning time. Our Sunday school classes get together and do things outside of the church building and in people's homes. And I encourage them to do that as they just continue to grow Christian fellowship together and relationships. It's also a great time for Bible application. We walk through the scriptures in Sunday school, and we can apply it directly to our lives in a more detailed way than we can in a larger group. And so Bible education and application happens in our Sunday school classes on Sunday mornings before church. And so that is a main gathering. So I encourage you, I would love to talk to you more about Sunday school, and we have all different classes for all different ages and stages of life, and great teachers and leaders for those classes, and so that's really a great way to be plugged in and excited for our Sunday school ministry. Like I said, our Agape Cafe ministry, not only do they serve meals in-house on Wednesday evenings, but they also take meals to shut-ins. And if you ever know someone in need of a meal that week, you can let them know and they'll make sure they get them on that list. The Agape Cafe is a group that you could be involved in. Would love to point you that direction if you're interested in learning more about that. Our nursery and our children's ministry, our church seeks to take ownership of our children, and our nursery is provided for at our Sunday morning service as well as our Wednesday evening service. Children's is also provided on Sunday morning and Wednesday evenings, and so we'd love to let people know about that. Think about new visitors. If a new visitor with a child, if they're coming in, they're not thinking, first of all, what's the preaching going to be like or what's the music going to be like? What's first and foremost on their minds is, what do I do with my kids? Who's going to be in there with them, and what's their experience going to be like? So we want to be excited, and we are excited about our nursery and children's ministry. We want to support Miss Danielle and Miss Pat any way that we can by giving them help, anyone who can volunteer in that way to be a part of our children's ministry. And it's exciting. I feel like we're seeing new kids all the time walk out on Sunday morning, part of the children's ministry. So I'm excited to see that. And then lastly, youth ministry. Our youth ministry has Sunday school and Wednesday night youth group for 6th to 12th grade. And so they are a great group. They stay active. They do a lot. As all of us know in this room, they have been working tirelessly to raise money and to not only raise money, but also prepare spiritually and as a team for their Alaska mission trip this summer. And so it's led by Pastor John, and he does a great job with the youth ministry, and would love to tell you more about that as well. And then finally, and I'll usually have this printed out, I don't have it for you tonight, but I'll have it printed out in our meeting, is just a Baptist faith and message, what we believe. And I don't put this at the end because it's not important. It absolutely is, but I won't take time in the meeting to walk through every single point of the Baptist faith and message, but I'll put it in all of their hands. And then once I have the teachings on Sunday night of the Baptist faith and message, I can point them to online if they ever have any questions or would like to hear more teaching. Of course, I'm always available to talk and things like that, but as Southern Baptists, we do have a statement of faith that we rally behind, that we believe is consistent with the scriptures and what the scripture teaches on core issues of the gospel and doctrine, and that's the Baptist faith and message. And so that is the information that Robin and myself have put together. For some of us, my biggest concern is, like, I know it feels like drinking from a water fire hydrant. Drinking from a fire hydrant. It's a lot of information. Sometimes I can forget that because I'm so used to some of these concepts. But I do hope and pray that this will be a helpful meeting to people. And I wanted you all to know about it. So as you invite people or as you talk to a new visitor here, I want to always have a sign-up sheet out there and a date, and we're going to start putting it in the bulletin as well. So you can always point them to it. Hey, our pastor and his wife do a meeting every so often. We're going to start quarterly and see how that goes. And they just walk through who we are as a church and what it means to be a member and what it means to take the next step here at the church. And so invite you to come or let me go with you. I'd love to go with you. And so I hope this will be just a good service to the church to offer that sort of thing for not only new visitors, but like I say, some people who maybe have attended service for a long time, but have never really taken that step from attending an event to being part of the community. And so those are my prayers for this and for having these opportunities and these meetings. So I will announce it regularly and keep it in the bulletin and keep a sign up out there. And our plan right now is to do it about 4:30 on a Sunday evening before the evening service. And we'll see how that goes. But I hope it was helpful to you as well. Good reminders of things, foundational things about who we are as a church in regards to what God has called us to as the body of Christ. So would you pray with me?